anniversary of the 9/11 attacks is days away. 9/11 changed the American landscape in a huge way, and it impacted the Muslim American community profoundly. Negative stereotypes and intolerance of Muslims have emerged since 9/11, making uncomfortable interactions a common occurrence for local Muslim families. Today, we talk about the challenges this community faces and how they're reaching out to foster conversation and mutual understanding in our region. Our guest today here on Music and Ideas is Alam Allah, one of the local organizers of a national event called Muslims for Life Blood Drive. Welcome to the show, Alam.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And also we have joining us on the phone here on Music and Ideas, Police Chief George Delgado of the City of Des Moines. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for being on the phone with us today, Chief Delgado. I'm going to start actually with you, Alam, and talk a little bit about your own story. You know, as I mentioned in the intro, obviously 9/11 impacted the Muslim community greatly. How has it impacted you personally and affected your family?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. You know, obviously, you know, it's been many years, over a decade since the 9/11 tragedy. You know, over the last decade, my family and I, you know, have had to adjust, and actually we have a new norm, right? You know, the years right after 9/11, obviously it took a lot of getting used to finding the new balance. But I think we're at a stage now where we see, at least my family and my community sees this event, this tragedy, as actually an opportunity now for us. We see the silver lining, right, in the tragedy, where, yes, we are more cognizant about how we represent ourselves. We understand that there are people that, you know, simply don't understand or choose not to understand the details of what terrorism is about and the root cause of it. But we choose to look beyond that and see how we can actually affect our society and our community in a positive way. So if there's attention paid on us, let's use that attention now to bring about a positive change. And that's what we're working on in this initiative of Muslims for Life.
Well, you mentioned a new normal, and I wanted you to describe what are some of the things that occur in the new normal. And how do you feel about having a new normal? I mean, you know, while I can understand the adjustment, I'm wondering how does that impact you on a daily basis to have to deal with, I guess, a new normal? And what does a new normal look like?
Yeah, it's it is a state where you're more conscious about being a Muslim. You're conscious about expressing yourself as a Muslim. And when we have events, like, you know, we have our Eids, our celebration twice a year, Eid al-Fitr, which we just had about a month ago, which commemorates the end of the month of fasting, Ramadan. And then we're going to have another Eid coming up here in a couple of weeks. You know, when we have large celebrations and gatherings like that, we're just more aware of security. Like, for example, you know, we have a police car out in front of our community center at these major events, the Linwood Police Department, where we have our center, right, has been kind enough to provide that for us. We never had to have that before. But it's just sort of a fact of life that, you know, we're just more aware. We have to do those things. But we move past that. You know, and also in a day-to-day, you know, we practice certain things that we wear, right? The women in the community have head coverings on, and they have a special type of Muslim attire. I keep a beard. You know, sometimes some people keep a longer beard or shorter beard, and that sort of gives you a look, right? You know, I recently just started keeping a full beard. I usually used to just have a goatee, and I came in after several weeks, you know, to work, and people would see me, and they would like, they you know, one of my good friends, right? He sort of made a joke to me, and I knew he was joking, right? He didn't mean anything. It's like he's like, oh, I'm not gonna go through security with you, right? It's a joke, but he was sort of conveying from his perspective the new norm,
right?
Right. So if you look like a Muslim, you know, there's things you have to be conscious about, right? You're just aware of these things, you know. And we all hear about things about, you know, the challenges of going through airport security, but you know, those are types of some of the examples.
Well, you mentioned that you also, like you said, you're looking at it as an opportunity, though, and a way to create some conversation. So how has the local community, Muslim community, proactively been advocating better community relations since 9/11?
So let me give you a little bit of background of who I am and what I represent. So, and I'll go into like what we're doing. So, I'm a member of the Ahmadi Muslim community. We're Muslims who believe in the Messiah, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian. This is a dynamic organization that's focused on reviving Islam. It's focused on uniting all religions and establishing truth. So this organization really focuses on getting back to the roots of what Islam is. We believe fundamentally, not just believe, but we practice that our role as Muslims is to bring about a better community. Islam means peace. A Muslim is one who fosters peace, and not just within his or herself, but our responsibility is to our community. So what do we do? So as this 9/11 anniversary came up about 3 years ago, and it's coming up now, we asked ourselves, what can we practically do? Not just say that, you know, we're about peace, we're about all this stuff. So we said, of all the things we could do, why don't we choose to demonstrate how to save lives in honor of those that were taken away from us? And this 9/11 anniversary, we're going to bring in the Boston bombings as into the fold of this anniversary. You know, we had 3,000 people that were taken on 9/11. We had several people that were taken in the Boston bombings. And we want to use this time that if we can collect one pint of blood, we know that has a potential to save three lives. So, you know, we started out saying, you know, in honor of those 3,000 people that we lost on 9/11, can we save 30,000 lives? And we were able to achieve that. And so this is a grassroots effort where we go door to door, we hand out flyers, and we sort of try to make this connection to bring everybody together to help save lives.
That's a beautiful thing. Well, Chief Delgado, I want to bring you into this because you're involved with the Muslims for Life campaign. How did you get involved?
Good question. I was approached by the Ahmadiyya Muslim community through the Department of Justice, through the Washington Association of Police Chiefs and Sheriffs. So multiple groups, but I think it really does highlight the goodwill efforts and the respect that the Ahmadiyya Muslim community has harbored already within the law enforcement community. And so I was humbled enough to be selected as a chief to approach in this effort, amongst others. And first and foremost, I think when they came to me to talk about what was going on, I needed to hear from the people. I needed to hear from those behind the blood drive who passions were. And what I was met with was people of goodwill, people that truly wanted to show that they're people, that they're families, that they're here trying to live a normal American life. But it seems to me that current events, that the scars of recent history have prevented that from happening, and in many cases kind of taken us back a bit. So what the blood drive meant to me was I was honored to be able to be somewhat of an ambassador of sorts, but also to assist in bridging the gap, if there are any, and in many cases there still are, culturally and functionally and what have you, between law enforcement and the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, the Muslim community as a whole. And what I mean by a gap is that any time there's misunderstanding in a community, you got to know that it's going to exist within a police department, a fire department, any other group. But what I saw was an opportunity for us to not only partner on this blood drive, but on future efforts to bring about understanding in a community, to eliminate fear in children, to bring out information about people that happen to be Muslim and how much they contribute to our community, how much a part of our community they are, but how much we can learn from each other. And as a law enforcement chief, what I want to do, what I asked the Ahmadiyya Muslim community to do is, if I partner with you, will you help me learn more about your culture? Teach my officers how we can be better when we come to your house to provide you a service, no matter what that service may be. We want to understand the culture better. We want to be better ambassadors, but we want to be an example to a community that may not understand who this community is. So if we are in partnership with the community that we protect will feel safer, and we'll bring down barriers, we'll bring down silos, so to speak, and grow in this that will spread.
You know what? Unfortunately, Chief Delgado, you're breaking up a little bit. So it's part of what you're saying here at the end here is getting cut off. Maybe, I don't know where you are located, but maybe change the location a little bit. I'm going to check back in actually for a second with Alam and see if I can come back to you and get you going again, because I definitely want to hear the rest of what you're saying. It sounds like the Muslim for Life campaign has certainly impacted your work. And Alam, talk a little bit about some of, he said that a lot of it was about the way he was approached and the passion behind the message and what you were trying to accomplish. So how has the community in turn kind of helped the police learn more about cultural sensitivity maybe and cultural competency as it relates to dealing with the Muslim community?
Mm-hmm. So the Muslims for Life campaign, I'll just step back for just a second, is actually part of this larger campaign of Muslims for Peace. Under the Muslims for Peace umbrella, these are all grassroots efforts to go reach the community. And as part of the Muslims for Peace, we have Muslims for Life and another program called Muslims for Loyalty. So these are things that we take from Islam, the teachings of Islam, where it says that Islam says that loyalty to one's country is part of our faith. As part of that program, several years ago, we actually reached out to all of our law enforcement agencies, Des Moines being one of them, Seattle, Bellevue, Redmond, the police departments, and we invited them to a Muslims for Loyalty conference. And one of those things that we do is provide this type of sort of religious, cultural information to our law enforcement, wherever they need it. We've actually developed programs ourselves. We've developed presentations. We've developed speakers that can go help answer questions. We give them a primer. We're sort of here at their calling, that if they need some information, training, we can give anyone free of charge, right, any of these law enforcement agencies, that type of background information.
And Chief Delgado, I'm going to come back to you and hope that we can get you in a little better. Certainly, you sound like you're obviously very passionate as well about your work and being able to work with the Muslim community. So how have you been able to use the resources from this community, and how has it impacted the officers that have maybe gotten some more training and awareness about the community and how they can help serve the community?
Well, those are all good points that we are just starting off on. This is a brand new relationship, and for us, what it means is understanding the whole concept of cultural diversity. What we want to do is address those perceptions in a work group, and at that point, once we have that understanding, the relationships are built. We then go into the officers in a briefing and collectively work toward sharing and teaching. And our hope is that the relationships become personal at that point. And we feel that diversity is best served, understanding and bridging misunderstanding is best served when groups have dialogue, not necessarily in a classroom. And for us, that's the wonderful thing that's going to come about from this relationship and the dialogue we're already having.
Well, that is awesome, and I really appreciate you being on the phone and being so patient and being with us. You obviously have a lot of value to add to this conversation, and you're obviously very passionate about what you do. So the blood drive, because I'm kind of actually running out of time here, but the blood drive that's happening, there are two blood drives coming up. There's one happening tomorrow, right, in Des Moines, and then there's also one on Saturday in Seattle. Is that information correct, Alam?
I think that the Des Moines one is on Saturday.
Okay, I said it backwards. So there's one happening tomorrow in Seattle,
right.
And then there's one happening on Saturday in Des Moines.
Right.
So we have that information. I know we have links on for the muslimsforlife.org, the different events that are happening. So we have those links on our website at kbcs.fm. So those interested can learn more at our website at kbcs.fm. Thank you again, Chief Delgado, for being on the phone with us so much. Thank you for taking the time out of your day. We really appreciate it. And thank you, Alon, for coming in and talking a little bit more about it and helping aid in the conversation and the understanding. Hopefully we can revisit it with you at a later date. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.